Good morning and welcome, especially any visitors who are here, perhaps having a holiday over the school holidays here in Victor Harbour, and to everyone watching on live stream. I am Wendy Zanker, today's worship guide. Today is day three of General Synod at Concordia College. And yesterday was a historic day indeed at General Synod, where they endorsed the ordination of both men and women. I spoke to Anna Watson this morning, and she said it was a very quiet respect when it was announced. They needed 251 votes and got 269, so it was indeed still very close. Anna said it's been a long journey, but we look forward to the future. Also, Bishop Paul Smith said, "We commend this resolution to God, trusting in his mercy, guiding our feet in the way of peace." So please pray for our church, for unity and reconciliation where hurts are. Today, Vic Walter will be our lay reader, and he has been licensed to consecrate Holy Communion, so he will administer communion for us this morning. And as today is Synod Sunday, Bishop Paul Smith has prepared a video sermon for us to watch later. I have a brief announcement for our Victor Harbour Lutheran homes. The AGM will be on the 20th of October after the service here. The books of reports are out there on the welcome desk, and members of this congregation act as the association that gathers for the AGM, and we hope that lots of you will be able to attend that morning. All other announcements, of course, are in our community news. We begin now in the name of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Long ago God spoke to our ancestors in many ways by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." Let's pray for childlike faith. Heavenly Father, you have made us your own children, the younger brothers and sisters of your Son Jesus. Give us faith like a little child, so that we ask you for whatever we need with complete confidence. We pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first song, "May We Be One."
morning. It's my privilege to lead in communion for today, and the first part of that is being put right with God. We are gathered here to receive of God's gracious gifts as he serves us in this time of worship. God desires to forgive our sins, to cast aside all that would separate us from him, to wipe the slate clean. God desires that we be put right with him by simply acknowledging our failings and receiving forgiveness that he freely offers. May the following prayer be our shared request of God. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we confess before you that we are far from perfect. We show this time and again in what we do and in what we fail to do, in what we say and in what we fail to say. We confess that we have not loved others as you love us. Often we only love on our terms, our conditions, rather than loving unconditionally as you love us. Forgive us, Lord, for how we so easily practice your absence rather than your presence. Graciously forgive us. For the sake of your Son Jesus, have mercy upon us once more, even though we don't deserve this. Amen. Inasmuch as this prayer has been your prayer, inasmuch as you have asked, so you receive. Hear now that by the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, all our sins, past, present and future, have been dealt with once and for all by the way of a cross. Our sins are forgiven. We can be at peace with God, for he is at peace with us. Amen. And Marg will lead us in our Bible readings. Thanks, Marg.
Our first reading comes from Hebrews 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them, a son of man that you care for him? He made them a little lower than the angels. You crowned them with glory and honour and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present we do not see everything subject to them. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honour because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly I will sing your praises. This is the word of the Lord. And reading from Mark 10. Some Pharisees came and tested Jesus by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you? He replied. They said Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord.
No power, no.
Let's pray the offering prayer. Almighty God, thank you for speaking to us through your Son and for making us your daughters and sons. Lead us all to live holy lives as your holy people. Help us to always show kindness and respect to others and to serve all those in need. Bless these gifts offered here today. Amen. Now, Bishop Paul Smith has prepared the video sermon for us. Lord, open our hearts as we hear the message today.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm Paul and I serve as Bishop of our Church of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand, and I'm bringing you the good news of our Lord from the scripture that's set for our synod for this weekend, Ephesians chapter 2, reading verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Let us pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. The gift of God, it's grace that unites us. That phrase is the synod theme for the Convention of General Synod that's held in Adelaide this weekend. Now, everyone, synod themes are used by churches around the world, and they're there to help guide their people along a common purpose with a common outlook, so that those sisters and brothers in Christ gather for the work that God gives them in their service as Christian delegates meeting together in a church convention. The gift of God, it's grace that unites us. As I said, this is the theme for the 21st convention of our General Synod of our Lutheran Church. And this theme was designed to capture the heart of the scripture passage that I just read to you, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. The clear focus of this scripture and of this theme is the core word of the gospel in this scripture verse, which is grace. And I suspect that many of you learned back in confirmation or Sunday school days a little mnemonic for that word grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. For this Sunday message, on this Sunday of the convention, I'd like to unfold four words that begin with the letter G. Four G words that are in this text, behind this text, behind also then the theme that's chosen for the convention. These four words describe our common purpose as people of grace. These are really four G words of our gospel life as the Church of Jesus Christ. And they are the words gift, grace, gathered for good works. Gift, grace, gathered for good works. The first of these four words, the first of these G words, is a direct quote from the scripture before us, where the Apostle Paul directs the attention of the congregation at Ephesus to the generous giving heart of God. It's the gift of God, he says, the gift of God. The wonderful thing about gifts is they're not earned. You can't demand a gift. And if you did that anyway, it wouldn't be a gift. You can't order one online. Yes, I remember a family member who would buy himself Christmas presents and would write on the tag his name to him from Santa. We know there's something wrong with that. A gift is something that someone hands to you with their heart and their mind directed to you. It's not a medal, not an award, not an acknowledgement of service. And so the synod theme that we have includes this word gift and begins there with our beggarly hands opened towards God to receive, in the same way that we do every time we kneel for the sacrament of the altar with our beggarly hands opened. And the Apostle Paul, everyone, makes it clear that we don't earn this when he says, so that no one could boast. so that no one can boast. This first word, then, with the focus on the giving heart of God, takes us directly to the second word, the second of this G word, which is also at the heart then of this scripture passage from Ephesians and central to our synod theme. Everyone, it is the word grace. Here again, Ephesians 2, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Grace is not just a theological concept. Grace is the call to make central to our witness as a church the grace of God that is at work in our baptism into Christ's death and resurrection. Throughout the letter to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul is completely focused on baptism. Throughout the letter, he is focused on a shorthand that he uses over and over, the shorthand in Christ. Just two little words, in Christ. And with this shorthand, the Apostle Paul declares continually our status as heirs who have died with Christ in our baptism and been raised with him to walk in newness of life. In this letter to the Ephesians, he's dealing with a context where some of the early Christians were being required to undertake the Jewish custom of circumcision. It was being presented as something that all Christians, all new Christians, needed to do. And so then at the very first convention of the church, we read in Acts chapter 15, the early Christians said no to the circumcision party and yes to welcoming all uncircumcised Gentile Christians as full participants in the mission of God in the church, as full participants. This same conviction was captured by Martin Luther in 1517 when Luther nailed his famous 95 theses on the Wittenberg church door. He confirmed what God was doing in our baptism. And just one of those theses for you to reflect on and maybe even to remember. Number 37, Martin Luther wrote, all true Christians, whether living or dead, all true Christians, whether living or dead, participate in all the blessings of Christ and the church. This is the gift of God. In our baptism into Christ, we are given all the blessings of Christ, of the work of his cross. That is the full and free, abundant forgiveness of all sin. We're given new life and salvation. Yes, central to this simple statement from Dr. Luther, central to his statement, thesis 37, is that little word, all. We receive all the blessings of Christ. We get it all. Dr. Luther proclaimed that, knowing that we are people of grace. People of grace. We are people of what Martin Luther once described as the happy exchange. The happy exchange. What is that? Christ goes to the cross as the sinless one who takes upon himself the sin of the world. He dies and exchanges his righteousness for our sin. And in our baptism into Christ, we receive his righteousness that we would have peace with God. This is a happy exchange. This is the grace of God in Christ. This grace is what unites us in our common baptism into Christ. Gift, grace, and now this third G word in our scripture and in our theme. This third G word is not so noticeable at first look at this scripture in Ephesians 2. It's not noticeable unless you pay attention to the plural language. The plural language. Everyone, there are plural verbs everywhere in this scripture. Let me explain that for you. The scripture says, for by grace you all have been saved through faith. This is not your all own doing. It's the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we all are what he has made us, all created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be all of our way of life. All plurals. Our third G word is gathered. We are gathered all together into one body. God gathers us all into his church as sisters and brothers in Christ in this common baptism. You may remember that later in this letter to the Ephesians, there's an extraordinary cavalcade that the Apostle Paul writes of this being all in one. Again, with that same plural language, when he says there's one body, one spirit, just as you all were called into the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Gathered into this one common baptism, we see our neighbours and ourselves as with God's eyes. With God's eyes. To see each other as sisters and brothers baptised into Christ and so celebrate what God has done in that other person. Of what God has done and God, what God continues to do to the praise of God's glorious grace. Gift, grace, gathered, and then finally this fourth G word reminds us that this thing of being gathered in the gift of God's grace is not just a fact, it's not just information, but it's faith that is active in love. Faith that is active in love. So the Apostle Paul actually gives an explanation of how this works. He says, we are what he made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. There's that fourth and final G word in this text. For good works. Good works. We've already had the scripture make really clear that this is not about good works that are done to earn God's favour. We're people of grace. But as men and women baptized in the name of the Lord, we serve as little Christ to each other and to those around us. It's this grace that's equipped us for this service. And so the passage speaks of good works that we participate in as God's people of grace. There's a wonderful story that underscores what this means in the Gospels about the woman who anointed our Lord just before he was tortured and crucified. The Lord was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper when a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment. And she breaks open the jar, pours the ointment on the Lord's head. And with some scoffing at the woman, scolding her, telling her off, our Lord Jesus says, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? And the scripture explains how the Lord goes on to interpret her action as a good work. A work performed for him and to him. And so he explains to those around them that she's performed, and he uses the phrase, a good work for me. And truly I tell you, whenever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her. It's that phrase, everyone, she has performed a good work for me. This is what we are gathered for in our common baptism, to do good according to the Lord's good and gracious will as we serve one another and serve each other in the name of the Good Shepherd. And you will remember the parable of the sheep and the goats when the Lord explains, as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. You did it to me. This is what happens when we gather as church, as delegates in the Convention of Synod. We're seeking to serve, to do good work in the cause of the gospel of our Lord. And we serve our Lord Jesus Christ in serving each other to be salt and light in the world. These then are the four G words that are in our gospel purpose. Behind us, beneath us, beside us and before us as we go into the world. Gift, grace, gathered, for good works. I said there are four, everyone, but actually there's a hidden fifth word at the end of our scripture, a fifth G word that is a sending word, and it's a word that won't be picked up straight away as a sending word because of some of our English translations. At the very end of this scripture, in Ephesians, it says, we are made We are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life, to be our way of life. This fifth and additional G word I want to add at the end of this message for you is in that last phrase in our English translations, to be our way of life. This is a translation of a common phrase that St. Paul uses throughout his letters when he talks about Christian life. He talks about walking by faith. The scripture verse here actually says, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. Walk in them. We walk in this way of good works publicly, bearing witness to God's gift of grace at work in us as earthen vessels. So people of the Lutheran Church of Australia and New Zealand, gathered by the one Lord in the one faith of the one baptism, remember this gift of God. It's grace that unites us. And so go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything the Lord has commanded you. And remember, the risen Lord, the giver of grace, is with you always to the end of the age. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
So after singing that, let's take our concerns and our thoughts to the Lord now, together. Dear Father, our mighty and most holy Father, ever loving, we come to you today thankful for so many things. So much we see with our eyes, and we thank you for the abundance and variety of plants and animals, scenery, and so much more. So much we hear with our ears, the sound of music, rain on the roof, singing birds, and the important warning sounds of danger. So much we feel with our fingers, things that calm us, things that are hot and cold. And what we feel within, emotions, warning signs of health issues, these and so much more. We thank you for all our senses. We have been wonderfully made. We thank you that you journey with us through all that we encounter in our life, every one of us, your children. Today, in a gathering, the vote was much clearer, 108. For our church leaders as they work through the application of the amended form of the way forward, which has been adopted. We think with compassion of those who opposed the adopted motion. May they feel loved and cared for enough to keep going, to begin to see a way forward for themselves and all who are opposed to what has been adopted. May those who were in favour of it help to love them back into the fellowship. We pray for all pastors and delegates that they keep their eyes on Jesus and continue to seek Jesus' guidance. Bless the work of our church leaders in encouraging unity among pastors and lay people. Help us to see you in all we meet. May we celebrate the diversity in our lives and thinking and your creation rather than criticise the differences we see. May we be quick to listen, have our eyes wide open to the bigger picture, be slow to speak and even slower to become angry. Let us see Jesus in each person we meet. We thank you that you are with us in all our struggles and turmoil. Being so far from the war zones, we can almost forget they're happening. We ask your mercy on all the innocent victims and pray that those in positions to change hearts will be led to you by you, so the bloodshed, especially of the innocent, will cease. Raise up courageous leaders who have the best interests of the people at heart. There are many people working for good. Some are working hard for peace, locally, nationally and internationally. There are those providing safe haven for refugees and asylum seekers and displaced people, the homeless and the poor. Others are caring for our earth, educating and enabling us to do the same. While others are caring for prisoners, speaking up for those who cannot find justice, supporting those living in poverty, seeing that food and the basics are directed to the hungry, and there are those who are attending the sick. Lord, we give you thanks for these people, for all these people who are blessing those they help around our globe. May you add your blessing to them and the work they do. Now may you grant us all your blessing. Amen. And I'd ask you to join me in praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And let's rise as we confess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. God of love, we come before you in adoration and praise. We thank you for your invitation to receive of the sacred meal. Thank you that no one is outside of your welcome. Not a single person need be cut off from the blessings that you rain down on us. For blessings, for love, for grace and for hope, we give you our thanks. Amen. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As we come to the Lord's table and make the death and resurrection of Jesus our own by sharing in the bread of life and the cup of salvation, we become together the living body of Christ. There are gluten-free wafers available. Just indicate if you need them. There's wine and juice available in individual cups on the table. And if you do not wish to partake in the communion, the bread and the wine, and just would like a blessing as you come forward, just put your arms across your chest and indicate that way. Could the helpers please come forward?
Church. church, deploy your saints across the earth. Destroy hell's feeble falling gates and glory in your church's praise and glory in your church's praise. You called us, Lord, to join your work, to raise up your and holy church, a temple made of living stones, united as your Spirit's home, united as your Spirit's home. And so we pray, Lord, build your church, deploy your saints across the earth, destroy hell's feeble falling gates and glory in your church's praise and glory in your church's praise. We thank you, Lord, that you have worked to found a gospel-preaching church, and yet our task remains undone. Lord, build your church until you come. Lord, build your church until you come. And so church, deploy your saints across the earth, destroy hell's feeble falling gates and glory in your church's praise and glory in your church's praise.
May I
strengthen and preserve us in body and soul to life eternal. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus the Christ, we thank you that you obediently suffered and died to give us life, the life that we have again received in the sacrament. Strengthen us to carry our cross and willingly go where you lead us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look upon us with favour and give us peace. Amen. Let's stand for our... I think we've got a song. Hand in Hand.
Thank you, Vic, for being our lay reader today and serving us communion. I have a small reminder that Coffee and Chat Annual General Meeting will be this Thursday, 10th of October at 9:30. And I was privileged to go to the Australian Lutheran Women's Convention this week, and it was marvellous, absolutely marvellous. Lots of people there. Of course, a lot of those people were then going on to Synod. As is our practice, Sue will be available for anybody wanting some private prayers over here to my right after the service. Tea and coffee is available in the hall, and we ask any visitors who might be here on holidays to sign our visitors' book that's on the welcome desk before you leave, please. Go in peace as God's dear children. We ask that God bless your week ahead. Amen.